I'm just introducing tonight. It's a special missions night, and may we even say this is a special mission night for our entire church, not just Baltimore, but all the churches worldwide. We just pray that you can, you know, people can view this service. Thank you for your attendance tonight. Amen. And hey, thank you for being here. Just if we think of our pastor and just a missionary, and he pastors like a missionary, and he believes that it's in his heart. He's given that to us. He's one of the original missionaries from our church, you know, that went to Finland in the 70s. And so thankful for your heart. We have Pastor Shibeli in the missions office. And yes, thank you. We're so thankful for both of you and just how you lead us in missions and in the gospel, and how you train us and you believe in training us. Both of you, thank you so much. And I'm sure the world, because they visited so many places, they would say the same thing to, you know, these two leaders. So we have been, but where are we going? You know, it's a big question. And I was thinking of Nehemiah, you know, a cupbearer for the king, and he knew something was happening in Jerusalem that wasn't good, like gates and walls were falling down. And he got that in his heart. He got that in his heart, in his spiritual heart, and it dropped his countenance, or it put a big burden in his heart. And he wasn't going to let that go. He wasn't going to drop that. He wasn't going to let that motivation leave him. And this is what, you know, we have received from the victory, the personal victory of the gospel in our lives. We have tasted the gospel personally in our lives. And we're not just a church that's going to enjoy, you know, our future together on Moravia Park Drive. You know, we have places to go. And how we're going to get there, we don't know. But we're available. And his countenance dropped. You know, and Artaxerxes saw that, you know, and asked him. And he told him. And this king gave him, like, this surprising favor to go back to Jerusalem. And then you just imagine his great, great big heart swelling up inside. And this is like a burden for the lost. And it's like, it's not going to leave us. We believe when we go to another place, across the street or another country, that the cross has power, that it has ability to convert a soul, that it has the ability to unroot a person from the kingdom of darkness. And their mind can be contrary, like Saul was, to the gospel. And he can get kicked off of his mule, and he can go blind, and God can do a conversion in someone's heart. That's what God does through the gospel. And we believe that whosoever, in any region of the world, in any country, against any philosophy, any religion, any culture, we believe the gospel has that power. We believe that this is what the foundation has to be for every man's life. That's what we were created for, the gospel. So tonight, you know, even just thinking, you know, we have an elders meeting tomorrow morning. You know, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but maybe we'll talk about going into all the world and how we're going to do it. Let's talk about it. Pastor Shallis said, you know, like a year ago, let's get maps and put it on the wall. Let's pray for these countries. Let's think about this. You know, and Nehemiah didn't tell anybody, and he walked around that city, and he saw the crumbled gates, and he saw the need. He didn't tell anybody. But then, all of a sudden, he opened his mouth, and he told people, and there were people that were willing to work with him. And they lived with, or they built with, a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. That's the way that they actually lived. And we heard today the Moravians, the way that they left, you know, the way that they left, you know, from Denmark. They needed a ship to sail to wherever they were going. There wasn't one, so they built one. You know, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And we're believing that tonight. And I just think of the word, like, surrender. How big a word that is to us. You know, whatever barrier there is, like, surrender may be one of the biggest words that there actually is in human vocabulary, in the human heart. Surrender. Why won't people receive a free gift? It's surrender. Maybe why won't we go? It's surrender. Like, think of the Apostle Paul and him in 1 Timothy having a, you know, this calling of God, this sinner. But this amazing grace was revealed to him, and it rooted him out. And this is what I want to say. I'm believing God is going to do with our church. And maybe in unique ways. We believe in team life. We believe, you know, in going and teaching and preaching. But how is God going to do it? And who is God going to use? And each one of us individually can be a Nehemiah with this huge, intense burning of believing. I'm available. I'm available. It's big in our hearts. And all of a sudden, surrender becomes really small. You know, this is what you say, maybe I'm asking in my life. Maybe that's what you're asking in your life. Maybe that's what, I don't know, maybe that's what makes the healthiest church in the future for greater grace. And I'm saying this like worldwide. So, you know, that's why we're not just here to celebrate what we have done. We sit in the missions office like, can we go? Who can't go? You know, we're like ready to go. And, you know, we like look at us five or six in the missions office, like we're ready. But like, let's like look at this, you know, like let's look at our church tonight and then imagine the viewers on this in our churches worldwide. Saying, let's go and spin the globe around and look and see how big it is and see where we might want to go. Tonight, you'll get an introduction to Summer Harvest. You'll see places where we're going. There's four different places you'll see it. We're not limited to that. We don't know what's going to be open. We don't know what's going to be available. But let's corporately believe in this summer. Let's believe in this work that God's doing in our hearts to go. This is not our home. That's our home. So let's enjoy tonight. Let God work in your heart and just consider and be available to God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing truth that you are completely behind. It's your Great Commission. And we are saying, God, here we are. Here we are. Send us. God, whatever that means, God. And we believe in your grace to make us able, or to enable us, God. We're looking to you. We're not looking at our health. We're not looking at any obstacles. I'm not going to name them. We're not looking at the obstacles, the reasons not to tonight. We're looking to you to enable us, God. God, we pray. We pray for this evening in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, good evening. There are so many people here. Oh, no. What am I going to say? Well, I'm here to tell you about the vision that we have for Summer Harvest 2021. So let's open our Bibles in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And this is Israel in the wilderness, and they were close to the promised land. And Moses decides to send out spies to the promised land to see if they were able to take over the land. And he sends out 12 spies, and these 12 spies go to the land. They spy the land, and they come back with a report. And 10 of the 12 spies said, "We are not able to take the land. We cannot go into the land. The people that live there are too mighty. They're too strong. They are giants. They have corona in the land. We cannot go to the land. It's crazy. It's crazy there." But one man stood up, and this is what he said. Numbers 13, verse 30. "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, 'We are more than able to take over the land. Let's go and take it right now.'" You know, it's interesting. I was looking at the flags earlier today, and I was looking at the American flag, and I said, "Wow, what a beautiful flag. It's a beautiful place. I'm so glad I'm here. But this is not where I belong." Then I looked at the Brazilian flag, the flag of the country I was born in, and I said, "Wow, it's also a beautiful flag, and I love that flag. But that's not where I belong. I don't belong to Brazil." And I was wondering, why am I feeling this? Why am I telling this to myself? But then I looked at that cross over there, the cross. And I said, "Yes, that's where I belong. I belong to the kingdom of God." And I thought to myself, we all belong to that kingdom. And the cross is our flag. And We not only belong to that kingdom, but we have also received a mission from the King of the kingdom. And as you may know, in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, "Go into all over the world and preach the gospel." And we hear those words all the time, but why do we have to go out and preach the gospel to people? Well, if you walk outside of this building, you're going to find all kind of people out there. People dying in their sins. People without any hope. They don't know the message of eternal life in Christ. But how can they know it if nobody's telling them the message? And that's what I thought, like, for men to be saved, there's only one way. And it is for a man like Caleb to step out in the wilderness and preach the only message that God has promised that saves. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our vision for Summer Harvest. To go into the wilderness and preach the message. To stand up in the wilderness and say, "Christ saves. And we have a message for you." And this is Summer Harvest 2021. It's not a vacation trip where you're going out and having a good time with your friends. No, we are going to preach the gospel to people because they need to hear the message. And one last thing, if I have time. If you look around this room, there's a lot of missionaries right here. And I respect that so much. And because these people went now in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, we now have 768 churches in more than 72 countries. Because these people decided to take a step of faith and go out to the mission field. And if you ask them, most of them went out to the mission field. Most of them got their calling to go to the mission field in a summer harvest trip. And it could be that God wants you to go to a summer harvest trip because he wants to call you to go somewhere and plant a church. And that's what I have in my heart. They planted 768 churches. Let's go out and plant 768 more. We are more than able to do it. And that's the message of Caleb. That's the message of Jesus, actually. But this is what Caleb said. We are more than able to take over the land. And that's the vision for Summer Harvest 2021. All right, thank you.
Good evening. We are in a mission, aren't we? This is the offering. Thank you, Pastor Shala, for the message this morning. So you want to help me with this message? Very short help. I need small help. He said three key words. I'm going to say a word, and you say it back to me. I see.
I see.
I hide.
I teach.
What do we see? We see the glory of the Lord. You know, that was his answer as why we do mission. We see the glory of the Lord. And what do we hide? We hide truth in our hearts. You know, we hide a good theme. You know, Psalm 45, verse 1. Like this good theme overflows out of our hearts. And he said, when we go home, what do? We teach the little ones. You know, we teach. We can say we share with our neighbors. What do we share? We share from the new heart, right? This amazing, good theme, you know. And like we give. We give to the local assembly. We give to mission, you know, and we give to the Grace Hour. You know, so just with these thoughts, just let's pray for this offering and let's just say in our hearts, God, we are in a mission. Yes, Lord, thank you, God, for just mission in our hearts, for this amazing place. You placed us here in Baltimore, Maryland, God. We are led by the Spirit. God, just really reveal to us the work of grace, God, and encourage us and motivate us to go and do mission and be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, it's like amazing to be up here. Yeah, just to build off of what Nathan said, like let's take this land. Like, how do we do that? You know, I want to read this one verse, and it's Jeremiah 8:20, and it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And we're talking about missions. We're talking about summer harvest, and what does it mean? Like, the summer has ended and we are not saved. And I was thinking about, like, what is our mission? What is our calling? We are all called by God. Every single person in this room is a missionary, right? We are all put in a place uniquely by God to carry out the Great Commission, right? It's not really about going to another place. It's preaching the gospel right where you are. Right? And we're in one of the greatest places in the world. Like Nathan said, like, you know, we're in Baltimore. We're at home base. Pastor Ronaldo was going to be leading a team to Arkansas, you know, and that's going to be amazing. But besides, you know, the trips happening in America, we have teams going out. Like Roger Robbins is leading a team to Izmir in June. We have Pastor Ronaldo and Pastor Chris Arman who are going to Namibia. We have Pastor Gary leading a team to Scotland. We have, but besides like what's happening here, we have people like Pastor Dennis Hewlett, who's leading a team to Slovenia in August. We have Pastor Risto, who's leading a team to Latvia, you know, and Pastor Stan Collins, who's leading a team to Paraguay from Argentina. And I guess the idea behind why we're talking about how do we do missions is because we have a vision, God calls us, we're stirred up in our hearts, but do we just stop with what happens in the summer? Because we're a worldwide church, right? We have believers all across the world who are doing exactly what we're doing, but we don't see them. So besides getting excited about like what our church is doing here, we wanna extend our hand out because that's what God does, right? He reaches his arm out to us. And we want people to be brought in. So we want to encourage the different churches across the world to also consider Summer Harvest, to also consider the mission field, right? Because what are our true riches? It's not about what we gain in this life. It's like, what shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world, but he loses his soul, right? It's amazing to have, you know, things in this life, but the value of a soul, we can never really put into words or into earthly riches the value that it has, right? So tonight, we've been praying at the missions office. We've been saying, like, consider the call to go, you know? Because we all are called, but do we consider it? If we just take a step of faith, we don't have any idea if we're going to go to these places, you know? But at the same time, when have we ever known if we could go? How much are we really going to think about it? God just wants us to take a step of faith, like Nathan said, like just go. Pray, you know, praying is also going because in your heart, you're with the people that you're praying for, you know. And yeah, just being in the Bible college, being in the missions office, we want to consider the harvest because it's ripe and people want to hear. We want to sow seeds, we want to water, we want to reap, and we want to seek. Because Christ said, right, we're not just here to like wander through this life, we want to seek and to save the people that are lost, that are dying, and that are hurt, and that are broken. Amen.
We pray as we think of missions tonight. Jesus was the mission. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only. That's the mission. That's the mission. And we are of the whosoevers. And we have eternal life. Thank you. Jesus and the mission. Jesus is the mission. Jesus and the mission. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just as you sit down, if you're under 80, stand up. If you're under 80 years old. Come on, some of you. Come on, you're under 80. Okay, so you're available, amen? You're available for missions. Jonathan Goforth was still on the mission field at 80 years old. He went when he was 70. There's hope for all of us. Amen? Hallelujah? Wow. You can be seated again. I won't make you stand again, I don't think. I was going to bring a spear tonight. It's a spear that I use to fend off certain animals in southern Africa, you know, and guard against. And I was going to just use it to pop holes in balloons. And all these things that are missions obstacles, you know? Like I'm too old to go. You know? Like I don't have any money. Let's blow that one up too. I'm not educated. I'm afraid of airplanes and whatnot. There's so many excuses that I have, you know, and that we can have when it comes to missions. But thank God that God says, just come. I wanted Andrew, would you come up here for a minute? Andrew, where are you? You're right there. Okay, come up here for a minute. This is one of the greatest missionaries I've ever known, Pastor Carl's son. And he's got the same face. I mean, it's like, no, really, I'm so thankful for his dad went home to be with the Lord. But what a life that he has lived still speaks to us today. Amen. I mean, we have 115 between his dad and Jillian's dad. There's 159 churches in India. Isn't that amazing? 159 churches in India. And he is here. They are both of them here. The son of Pastor Carl, the son of Pastor Brian. And isn't it an awesome privilege to have them with us? Amen. Thank you. Love you. That's amazing. That's our Bible school. Amen. That's our Bible school. And that's great. If I be lifted up, I was thinking about the mission, and when it said that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that means the mission, the mind of missions was like forever. It didn't just occur in Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Luke 24, John 20, 21, Acts 1, 7, and 8. The mind of missions is eternal. It was always a go. It was always a go. And I think that's incredible. When we think about temporal life today and how easy it is to just fall into that temporal life. And I thank God that our church is a church that has an eternal perspective. Dr. Stevens led this church and 50-something years ago from Maine. He had an eternal viewpoint on everything. And he instilled in all of us, many of us, especially the elders in the church and Pastor Schaller as a person that was with him for decades, he just kept speaking that and putting that into our hearts. The importance of reaching lost souls. That people are lost, you know that? I mean, I think I know you know that, but people are lost, and there are these vast multitudes of people, 1.3 billion people in China, 1.1 or 1.2 billion people in India, Asia. I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. Africa has right now 1.3 billion people in Africa. And it's incredible. And here we are, and we could just take a look around and say, like, how can we do this? And we are doing this because we've used the spear to pop those balloons. All those obstacles that seem to be there, you know, that would make us think that this cannot be done. I like what he said about Caleb. I love Caleb. You know what Caleb's name means? All heart. There's two possibilities. I like the all heart one. The other one is attack dog. If they say either all heart or attack dog, I like to put them together. If you have all heart, you're going to be like an attack dog when it comes to missions. And he said, like, you know, giants, walled cities, the sons of Anak, these are nothing. We are well able, let us go up. He didn't say let's wait a while. He said let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome. And he was not in the majority. The other 11 were like, huh? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. He was not in the majority. He was like almost alone in all of it. Maybe Joshua and him. And you think about it. And they go back to the congregation. And the congregation, by the way, you know, we said, well, you know, it's the multitude that have the right opinion that we follow. Oh, really? Yeah, the 10 were wrong. And the 2 were right. It's not the majority prevails, you know. It's who God chooses that prevails, amen? And this is the key. I was just thinking about missions, and I remember like many years ago, maybe 40 years ago, I was involved, and I got saved in 1976. The first thing I did was go on a street with a Bible and start telling people about Christ. I didn't know anything about what I was saying. And And then I found the church. I heard Dr. Stevens on the radio on WACE, and I found the church that represented the radio program or was connected. And I remember being a part of that church in the early days. And we had a place first in the Marriott Hotel and then Starrington Chapel. As it began to grow, it just began to grow rapidly because of evangelism, vision, and missions. And then I heard a certain person. I was not interested in missions. I mean, I was interested in missions to people in the city. And that's definitely a mission. Don't take me wrong on this, all right? I was definitely interested in evangelism in my local city, especially in very difficult areas. I was raised in those areas. I think I stayed on a street corner my whole life since I was 12 years old. I was always on a street corner doing something, you know? And so I loved local missions. And I heard about somebody coming to preach in Springfield at the church, and it was in West Springfield at the time. I don't know if you remember that Pastor Schaller was coming, and he was involved with missions in Lenox. And I thought to myself, I have no interest in missions. I'm going to get so far away from him when he's preaching that nothing will ever touch me. I got up in the balcony, and I sat with a chair behind a pillar, way bigger than that. And he preached from Hebrews 11, seeing he who is invisible. I remember the message. Yeah. Talk about, you know. And he spoke about missions, and I was really touched by God. I mean, his message was so motivating for me when it came to missions. And really, it's not about where you're at. I didn't want any part of that kind of a thing. I was involved with the church, and of course, being involved with the church, you are a part of that, a great part, so don't take that wrong either. But I wanted nothing to do with taking the steps to foreign missions. Then I went on a summer harvest with Pastor John Love. Remember that time? Remember we were on a train from Milan all the way to southern France. I think it was how many hours? Like 18, 20 hours? And we had no place to sit. My wife was there. We stood for 18 hours. And we had nothing but, like, the craziest people around us. You know, we were also, you know, the craziest people. I was like, you got to be kidding me, you know. But that summer harvest, that trip alone from Milan to France opened up my eyes, to southern France, to missions and thinking about missions. And I began to think about it, get involved with summer harvest, did a few summer harvests, went to Bulgaria, Yugoslavia. They didn't end up so well because I was put in prison in both places, which was, you know, wasn't the actual, please don't take summer harvest that way, Pastor Gary. You know, he's going to nice places, right? That's right. These places were not so hot, you know, they were like not so open to the gospel, all right? But what was taking place and what takes place in our lives is our heart gets enlarged. I love that word, that's how it's used in 2 Corinthians 6:11 through 14. He said that Paul was talking about his relationship to the Corinthians, and their heart was not enlarged for Paul. Their heart was straightened. And when it comes to missions, and it could be even in America, and hopefully churches are growing out of this, but a heart of a church can be straightened. It means it's restricted, okay? There's no room for missions. There's no room for evangelism. There's no room for the gospel. I know of a church that was like 700 and something people with five pieces of property. And I saw when they stopped evangelism and missions emphasis, the church does not exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. Something took place. They got straightened. They got restricted. There was no room inside of the person. They didn't have what we call, what kind of a heart? Enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. I was talking this afternoon. I had like four phone calls, and all of them were nothing but trouble. No, that's part of the game, you know. When you got 268 churches in Africa. No, I like the trouble though. Anyway, I'm not saying it in a negative way. It was just problems, and I thought to myself as it got towards like 5:30. What am I gonna? I don't know what to say tonight. You know, I mean, I spent like hours just dealing with situations, and I'm thinking like, what a Sunday afternoon, you know? I mean, thank God my wife was there. I have some time with her at the dinner table, but we don't have a lot of time. But even for people that are having difficulties, is our heart enlarged? People with trials, people in trouble, people that are lost, is the heart enlarged? Is the heart of a young person enlarged for an older person? Is the heart of an older person enlarged for a young person? Is the heart of somebody educated enlarged for somebody illiterate? Is the heart of a rich person enlarged for a poor person? Is the heart of a poor person enlarged for a rich person? And God is saying that, be ye also enlarged. He wanted these Corinthians not to have restricted hearts, hearts that were small and narrow, and there was no room in their hearts for anything. No room for people. No room for lost souls. No room for people from other places, like the places like China and Nepal and India and Asia and Europe and Eastern Europe and Russia and South America and Africa. Is the heart enlarged? And this is what I desire so much in my life, is to have a heart that continues to be enlarged. People ask me all the time why I wear a rubber band. It happens to be I don't have it tonight, because I like to just stretch it out. They get enlarged easy, you know. Pull them out this way, then they snap in your eye and whatnot. But enlarged, just being enlarged. Young people having an enlarged heart, having a vision. We heard something about the Moravians today, and listen to this. I don't want to. I'm not adding to the message, but just I don't know. One out of every 60 Moravians was a foreign missionary. One out of 60. Protestant Christianity was 1 out of 5,000, but the Moravians was 1 out of 60. The Moravians planted more churches in 20 years than Protestant Christianity altogether planted in 200 years. And here's one of the keys, I believe, and I want to pray Friday nights at 8 o'clock at night, come for a prayer meeting here in the chapel. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
A prayer meeting. They had a prayer meeting 24 hours a day for 100 years. Hello! 100 years, 24 hours a day. Arms wide open. That's God's arms wide open. These people are begging and praying and asking God to touch people. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. And prayer opens the heart. When we pray for people, we pray for countries. And we're before God, and God, oh, give us. You know, when people talk about missions, forget about money. Forget about visas. I can't tell you how many places I went without visas. Without passports that were even correct. Huh? People get so, well, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Get rid of, you know what? I mean, cannot God do it? Can God provide a table in the wilderness? I can't hear you. Yes, he can. The provision, the visa, the provision, the passport. I'm telling my granddaughter, get a passport. Let's get a passport this week. Okay? We're going someplace. We're on a mission. Let's get on a mission. How about, imagine raising children and giving them the idea that missions would be good for them. No, I like to raise, you know, you want to raise kids so they have good jobs, make a lot of money, and take care of you when you're old. No, no, no. I'd rather have them be a very meagerly supported missionary that gives me nothing when I'm old. It's okay. But really, how many? I wonder how many schools or how many Christian schools or Bible schools talk to young people about missions. Some of the greatest missionaries started when they were 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, 17 years old. It's incredible. And we start putting those things. You know, I don't know. That if they go overseas, I'm going to miss them. You'll be with them in heaven forever. I mean, billions of years together. What's a few years down here? Hello? Remember when we went to Africa the first time, my wife and I, and we were coming down from this house, and it was like 150 people around the car that was taking us to New York to the airport. Everybody was crying. I said, oh boy. I mean, I appreciate their love for me, but you know, I'm thinking this is not a good scene I want to leave with. So I quickly got in the car and just drove away. I didn't say goodbye. I'm not a goodbye person, really. And I'm like, see you later, maybe, you know, or whatnot. But missions. And they asked me, like, how can you do this? You're the head of the Bible school, the head of the Christian school, the assistant pastor. How can you go with my feet? With my feet. I'm going with my feet. God told me to go, and I'm going to go. And so the enlarged heart. Think about this church in Rome. What Paul says to them. It's incredible. Separated to the gospel, Romans 1:1. Then he speaks to them later on there. He says, you've got a vision in 1:5 to all nations. Are you with me? All nations. Then in 1:8, he says the whole world. In 1:9, he talks about all of Rome. He's giving a vision. He's talking to people in Rome, which is a city. By the way, you think it's tough here? It's difficult now. All I hear is, you know, let's stop talking about what's going on. Who gives a flying rip about what's going on? I know what's going on with God. What's going on with the pandemic and the education system and the politics and the government? Yeah, I'm getting sick and I get tired of the whole thing. Wow. Rome had 4 million people and they ruled the world for 969 years with an iron fist. Hello? Caesar worship. Taxes. High ones. You think things weren't difficult then? And Paul says, we got a vision for all nations in the whole world and every person. Just read it. Then you read Romans 15. He uses the word nations 10 times. Romans 15, he's talking to them about nations, vision. Wait a minute. Don't you know the things we're going through, the difficulty we have, the problems in Rome, what's taking place? We're a very small church in Rome. 115, 125 people. What's he saying to them? Go. All nations, all the world, every person. 10 times in Romans 15, he uses the word nations, nations, nations. And then he's talking about beyond. In Romans 16, 19, and 26, he's talking about mission and a vision. And that's what we're doing. There's going to be some people that, oh, we're not staying in this church. And I remember a couple of times in Africa, what about feeding the poor? I said to them, a group of them one time, they came to me with that. They said, we shouldn't be doing missions. We should be taking care of the poor. I said, the poor you'll have with you always. Let's go. Let's go. Let's believe God. You know what's amazing, too? Out of 268 churches, I'm just speaking about Africa. I don't know about much else there in other places precisely. But there we have almost all of our leaders in 268 churches are African leaders. They've been trained. They watch classes from here, sometimes two every semester. They've been trained, and they're on a mission. And they're going with the message. We've got the greatest message that there could ever be in the history of the universe. We've got what's called the gospel. It's good news. I got something to tell somebody. Whether it's down in the Northeast Market or over at, what's that place, Dundalk something? Dundalk Flea Market. Yep. Guy said to me, who told you that you could do this here? I said, God did. You got a problem? He goes, no, goodbye. I think it was the way I said it, you know. I'm not advocating doing that. I'm just saying, you know. Like God gave me the authority. Amen? We've got a message. And oh God, enlarge our what? Enlarge my heart. Enlarge our hearts for all kinds of people, all kinds of situations, all kinds of races, all kinds of troubles, all kinds of problems, drug addicts, alcoholics, people that are rejected, rebels, reactors, people that like nobody wants. I want an enlarged heart. I want an enlarged heart. And the Corinthians, he said, don't be straitened in your heart. Have an enlarged heart. And this enlarged heart will give us an enlarged vision. This will give us enlarged steps. Psalm 18, my steps have been enlarged. And we go forward. And if we cannot, I love what Ezra chapter 1 says. They went. Who is there among you? As God be with him? Let him go up at once to Jerusalem and build the house of God. And those that couldn't go, he said, help. Help. Help how? Pray. Giving. Whatever it might be, prayer, giving, you know, all help. We are there and we're doing that. We are helping. I'm not so sure if I got the exact figure, but somehow we're spending $40,000 a month on missions. Something like that. I might even be talking about right here, overall, with missionary support and everything. What people give, what the church gives, and then what people give. We have so many people that give to missionaries that are out there. And it's incredible. We could double that easily, you know? Just with an enlarged heart, we'll give you an enlarged pocketbook. Give you an enlarged wallet, I should say, okay? Just enlarge expenses. Oh, God, we want to lift you up. And as we lift you up, enlarge our hearts. Enlarge our vision, enlarge our purpose. Just in closing, I was thinking a lot today about Pastor Bill Cannon. And really, when I just came back from the Dominican Republic, one man goes with his wife to the Dominican Republic and maybe was even told by people that this is not a good idea. Am I right, Pastor Bill? I mean, Pastor Glenn. And he goes, and there are 13 churches that are a result of him going. There's 13 churches between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Over 1,100 people coming to church because somebody had an enlarged heart. Yes, we know what happened. It was heartbreaking for all of us. But when you talk to these Haitians and these pastors and these leaders in the Dominican Republic and you mention his name, there's a brokenness that comes across them. Why? Because Pastor Bill had an enlarged heart. It didn't make a difference what the conditions were, what the situations were. He had an enlarged heart, and he brought them into his heart because his heart was God's heart, and God's heart was his heart. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, God, for your arms are still wide open. We thank you. Thank you for an enlarged heart. The heart of Jesus. It could be a leper. It could be a woman at a well. It could be a demoniac in Mark 5. It could be a backslidden Peter. It could be a doubting Thomas. It could be a woman with an issue of blood. It could be Jairus' daughter. It could be Nicodemus, a religious man, Joseph of Arimathea. So many people that he touched because his heart was enlarged for them. There were people that were rejects. Nobody wanted to be near. They said he's the friend of publicans and sinners. That meant his heart was enlarged for them. Tax collectors and sinners. People that were despised and rejected. The poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. His heart was enlarged. His arms were wide open because his heart was enlarged. We thank you tonight, God. Continue that in us, in the mission. Thank you so much that you've given us a church and a worldwide ministry that has an enlarged heart. People going from many places to places we haven't even heard of. We know very little about, but they have enlarged hearts and they're doing the work of the mission. And this church here in Baltimore is absolutely essential to what's taking place. It's a base of operation with an enlarged heart to reach people around the world. You saw them come up today, a pastor's son and a pastor's daughter and others. We thank you. If you are here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus has a personally enlarged heart for you. Whoever you are, his arms are wide open. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past, what you're even doing right now or before you came here. But Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus tonight. On the internet, come to Jesus tonight. His heart is enlarged for you. An enlarged heart. Say, Jesus, save me. Cleanse me of all my sin. Come into my life. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the old sin nature. Thank you for the cross, the finished work. The devil is defeated, the world is crucified, and the old sin nature is dead. Thank you. That's your prayer on the internet or here in the assembly hall. Put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Come into my life. Live in me. And now a prayer for all of us. Let's stand quietly and just ask God. Jesus, we come to you tonight. Enlarge our hearts. Even if we think they are enlarged, we want to have our hearts enlarged again and again. Enlarge our hearts for the people that we live next to, the streets that we live on, the people that we work with, the gas stations that we buy at, the stores we go to. We'd have an enlarged heart for people around us, those who are close by. And then we'd also have an enlarged heart for the city of Baltimore, place that you brought us, the state of Maryland, the United States of America, and this world with all of its countries. God, you can speak to us. You can speak to us. When our heart is enlarged, we are so available to hear the word. The word finds a place in an enlarged heart. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.